Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 through 7, but we're going to read the whole chapter. This is the reading of God's word. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup, full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, 'Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not, and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and they are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast which was in and is not is himself also an eighth, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast of 1 hour, for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. And he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh and burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose, and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your word. It is the only thing that teaches us, shows us Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished for your people. Once again, Father, by your grace, let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, through your word. And let us have fellowship with him even as we hear your word. O Father, we pray that by your grace, your word will be preached correctly, and all of us will, because you have granted us an ear to hear, that we will hear your voice through your word, telling us wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. O Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow and grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ through our lives, through our church. Oh, Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue our study of the book of Revelation, and we are at chapter 17 today. We begin chapter 17 today. And let me remind you that we have divided this whole book of Revelation, into seven sections. Chapters 1 through 3, introduction, and we named this seven churches. And chapters 4 through 7, it was about seven seals, judgment of God. And chapters 8 through 11, seven trumpets, judgment of God. And chapters 12 through 14, we named it the woman, the male child, and dragon, and the two beasts, and the 144,000. And chapter 15 and 16, which we finished last Lord's Day, seven bowls of judgment. Thus, from chapter 17, we have two more sections to study. Feel a little bit sad as we approach the end. You really want this thing to just keep going on. But two more sections, starting chapter 17. And I want you to read with me here. I mean, not literally read with me. Let me read to you chapter 17, verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. So chapter 17 starts with that. And if you go to chapter 21, verse 9, you will see that it will start the same way. Chapter 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So these two verses are the headings of two sections that we're going to look at. One section, the first section, God will show you the harlot, the prostitute. And the last section, he will show you the bride of Lord Jesus Christ. So you will see two women. Two women. One is called Babylon, the great harlot. And the other is called the New Jerusalem, the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those are the two sections that are remaining. Two women. One will be completely destroyed. The other will be completely blessed. So, verse 1. We read that already, so let me go on. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, we see from this that what we are about to see is a part of the seven bowls judgment that we've been looking at for last few months. We see from this that it is part of the seven bowl judgment. And it is about the destruction of the great city called Babylon. Symbolical name there. So these two sections that we're going to read is about the destruction of the great city Babylon that chapter 16, verse 19 spoke of briefly. And this section will recapitulate the Armageddon war that we saw in chapter 16, verse 16. We will see this war in once in this chapter, again in chapter 19, and again in chapter 20. In last two sections of the book, we will revisit what we saw in seven bowls of judgment, especially the sixth and the seventh bowl judgments. Thus, from chapter 17 till the end, we will read about, again, the Armageddon war, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the complete and perfect eternal destruction of the Babylon, the great city, and the Satan and his beast and the false prophet. And the last but not least, we will read about the New Jerusalem, heaven, our eternal home. But we have to start from 17:1. The great harlot. What is clear from the start is that this great harlot is contrasted with the bride of the Lamb. The great harlot is described as a city. But if you read the rest of the book, the bride of Jesus Christ is also described as a city. In chapter 21, verse 2, the bride of Jesus Christ, the church, is described as the New Jerusalem. The great harlot is called in chapter 17, verse 5, as the Babylon the Great. And in chapter 17, verse 18, as the great city. Thus, we have in these two sections of the book of Revelation, the two cities. The great city, the Babylon the Great, and the holy city, the New Jerusalem. So what are you looking at? You're looking at the city of man and the city of God. The whole history, from the very beginning all the way to the end, is the tales of these two cities. City of man and city of God. The building of these two cities began from the very beginning. And we read about it in Genesis. Let us go there. Genesis chapter 4. Yeah, today's message will be, for some of you, hard to swallow. So just follow. I'll go slow. Genesis chapter 4, verse 16. This is after Adam and Eve sinned, and they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And chapter 4, verse 16, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So, Cain, who killed his brother Abel, and Cain is the head of people who do not belong to God. Look at the language. He went out from the presence of God. So he's going further away from God, and his direction is east. And you will see this constantly throughout the redemptive history. If you look at the temple and look at the tabernacle, that's why the entrance is in the east. So going west is going towards God. Going east is always going away from God. That's the direction. So once a year, the high priest, with the blood of animal, he needs to go west direction, to go into the Holy of Holies. That's why we even have a movie called, you know, East of Eden. You know, then you will know what that means. It's, anyway, I don't want to get into the movie here. 17. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of city Enoch after the name of his son. Now to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad became the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael became the father of Methushael, and Methushael became the father of Lamech. Lamech took to himself two wives. So already in this tale of the city of man, people are sinning against God, already having two wives here. The name of the one was Adah, and the name of the other is Zillah. Adah gave birth to Zabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the lyre and pipe. As for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal Cain, the forger of all implements of bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, and a body for striking me. If Cain is avenged sevenfold. Who said that? God said it, right? If anybody hurts Cain, Cain will be revenged sevenfold. But Lamech says what? Then Lamech 77-fold. So he puts himself greater than God. Cain, as their father, they built the city of man. And the city that is according to man, according to the spirit of 666 that we saw in chapter 13. Or, if you will, according to 1 John chapter 2. Well, let us go there. Well, you guys can just listen then. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also is lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. So this city of man is being built according to this, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh, and the boastful boasting of life. And these sinners, they built a city, developing and advancing the technology, skills, and culture. And another example of building the city of man is seen in Genesis 11. The Old Testament Babylon is located in the land of Shinar, and at that same place, the sinners built the Tower of Babel. And if you go to chapter 11, Genesis, verse 2, it came about as they journeyed east. Again, they're journeying east. There's that significance there. That they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And verse 4, they said, come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name. Otherwise, we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So you get the point. We build a tower that will reach heavens, be equal to God. And they say, as they build this tower, let us make for ourselves a name. Boastful pride of life. And do you remember what the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar said in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30? The king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power for the glory of my majesty? The ultimate arrogance. And this is what the city of man is all about. It is man-centered, self-centered, boastful pride of life, always boasting about what they have done, what they have accomplished. Humanism. And those of you who go to college will study this class. It's all about the accomplishments of men. Culture, science, skills, technology, music, art, literature, medicine, mathematics, psychology, philosophy, false religion, false Christianity, etc., etc. This sinful world, pride in these things, and do not give God any glory. They actually pride in themselves. It is the accomplishments of men. These are the pride of the city of man. And in Genesis 4, we read about yet another group of people through whom God builds the city of God. So you need to understand how the Bible describes the whole history. Whole history is about building the two cities. Sinners building the city of man and God building the city of God. And look at this another group, how the Bible describes. You saw the descendants of Cain, and you read about their accomplishments. You know, these guys have skills. These guys develops and advances technology. But let's read about this other group who are the citizens of the city of God. Chapter 4. Verse 25 and 26 of Genesis. Adam had relationship with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. To Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Do you see the contrast? Cain's descendants, how are they described? Skillful people who are advancing culture and technology. How about Seth's descendants who are building the city of God? Nothing like that there. All we read is that they worshiped God. Uh-huh. Isn't that interesting? The city of man is described as developing and advancing in technology and culture, and the city of God is described as worshiping God. It will do you well to ponder upon this. What will define your life at the end? The city of man is all about, oh, I have invented that. Oh, I am the one who came up with that method. Oh, I did this and I did that. I was a good doctor. I was a good lawyer. Whatever, you get the point. But citizens of City of God, what will define their lives? How would God describe their life? Oh, they worship God. You guys have to really, really understand this. Because there are so many so-called Christians. The whole Christian life, they describe in terms of this world. Who does that? Who allows that? Bible? Oh yeah, my Christian life was a great one because, you know, I helped a lot of people. I was a good doctor. I was a good this. Oh, is that how? Even non-Christian can claim those things if you say it like that. There was many non-Christian good doctors, so their life is as good as yours. That is not how you define Christian life. Now in the book of Revelation, we see the complete and perfect destruction of the city of man. The great harlot, the great Babylon is the city of man. The bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, is the city of God. And let us continue. The great harlot is sitting on many waters. Jeremiah chapter 51. What is the significance of this sitting on many waters? Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 11. Yeah, I know you guys are already there. I'm the one who's not. So that's why I keep saying 51, yeah. Chapter 51, verse 11. Sharpen the arrows, fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the king of Medes because his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is the vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. So God is using Persia to destroy Babylon. Verse 12, lift up a signal against the walls of Babylon, post a strong guard, station sentries, place men in ambush, for the Lord has both purposed and performed what he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures. Dwell on the many waters. Symbolism of wealthy. So the city of man is wealthy. And also, in Revelation chapter 17, verse 15, and he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So this wealthy people who belong to city of man, the whole world, of course, minus true Christians, worship this harlot. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. The kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth, the people who belong to this world, were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. But as you know, the book of Revelation is full of symbolism. It's a symbolical language. Babylon's sin, the city of men, and their sin is described in sexual terms. But if we read the Old Testament, it is very clear that idolatry is described in the Old Testament as a spiritual adultery. Spiritual prostitution. And Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 tells us that even greed is idolatry. So it's not sexual sins that we're talking about. It's idolatry. You're worshiping something other than God. Anything that you love more than God at any time, you are at that time prostituting with that thing against God. Ezekiel chapter 16. Verse 15, and I don't have time to read the whole thing, but if you go home, read the whole chapter. Chapter 16, verse 15. But you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame, and you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. You took some of your clothes, made for yourself high places of various colors and play the harlot on them, which it should never come about nor happen. You also took your beautiful jewels made of my gold and my silver. God is saying this to his people in the Old Testament, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images that you might play the harlot with them. Then you took your embroidered the clothes and cover them, and offer my oil and my incense before them, also my bread which I gave you, fine flour, oil, and honey with which I fed you. You would offer before them for a soothing aroma. So it happened, declares the Lord of God. And if you read the rest of it, you will understand the point. Idolatry. But God says it's harlotry. And this is what the city of man is all about. Nahum chapter 3 verse 4. All because of the many harlotries of the harlot, the charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries and fillies, her sorceries. This city of man is very attractive. It's very charming. It's very wealthy. The sinners will be intoxicated with her false beauty and false attractiveness. Thus, all sinners whom God does not save will follow her and worship her. The city of man. Verse 3, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The great harlot, the city of man, is sitting on a scarlet beast. We saw similar image before. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 3, then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red or scarlet dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his heads were seven diadems. And you know that was referring to Satan. And we met the beast that Satan creates that came up out of the sea in chapter 13, verse 1. And this beast was created in the image of Satan, chapter 13, verse 1. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having ten horns and seven heads. And on his horns were ten diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. This harlot is clothed in scarlet in verse 4. This harlot is also of the same image of Satan and his beast. And we learned this already in chapter 13. The beast is a symbol of the kingdoms of this world and their kings who will persecute Christians. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 38, "And you, O desolate one, what will you do? Although you dress in scarlet, although you decorate yourself with ornaments of gold, although you enlarge your eyes with paint, in vain you make yourself beautiful." This city of man, this harlot, tries to make herself beautiful. The city of man puts on her makeup. In kiss language, she looks good. But in this verse, we see her true picture. She's just like the beast and Satan. As a matter of fact, she is riding on the beast. Verse 4, "The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abomination and of the unclean things of her immorality." Clothed in purple. Purple is a royal color. That's why in John 19, when soldiers were mocking Jesus, they put on crown of thorns and the purple robe to mock Jesus because Jesus claimed to be the king. So this woman is a royal beauty. From the outside, the harlot is as beautiful as the New Jerusalem, but her beauty is a lie. Her specialty is lie, deceiving and tempting. And this harlot is rich. She holds the control of all the wealth of this world. Chapter 18. Let's go to Revelation chapter 18. Verse 10. We read about this harlot, the Babylon's destruction here. Chapter 18, verse 10, "Standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city, Babylon, the strong city. For in 1 hour, your judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her, because no one buys their cargoes anymore. Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour and wheat and cattle and sheep and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives.'" And you understand what that means, human lives. Many merchants, they even trade humans, slaves. And these merchants of the world, they're crying. They're sad because the Babylon is destroyed. They cannot make money anymore. Are you sad when you read about the harlot being destroyed? What if God comes today and everything that you build up in your career, in your family, what if all that is burned today? Are you going to be sad? Really sad? Just like this people who belong to this world? or you'll be rejoicing because you will see Jesus Christ face to face. This harlot tempts with her luxury and her lavishness. She rides the beast and tempts this world, the city of man. And we have many, many examples in history, like Rome at the time. The world follows the emperor of Rome and follows his false religion. Why? By doing so, one can live wealthy and one could live under the emperor's protection. Why follow the parents of the city of man? It promises long life and wealthy life in this world. Yes, the city of man is very attractive. Its ways are very convincing and also very attractive. There seems to be something great waiting if one follows it, but it is a lie. Read your Bible. All will be destroyed when Jesus Christ comes back. But the sinners love the world. They're sad that this world will be destroyed. They are driven by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the boastful pride of life. They define who they are by the standards of this sinful world. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witness of Jesus Christ. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. With the beast, the harlot participates in the persecution of the saints. And you see that throughout the history. Powerful nations, their kings, persecuting the church. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we too are tempted by this harlot. And she seems very attractive. It seems very attractive to be worldly successful in this sinful world. Even if we ignore and be lazy when it comes to serve and worship God. Even if we're lazy when it comes to know God through studying and reading and hearing His word. The harlot looks so good. So even if I ignore studying the word, if I just work hard out there, it seems like there's something great over there. But understand, Jesus is coming back. And if you ever hold anything in this world so dearly, that will be burnt completely. And your life will be a waste. Don't measure the value of life with the standard of this world. Do not listen to that lie. The truth, the Word of God, defines who you are. Yeah, but it looks so good over there. The whole sinful world will follow this harlot. Even some churches are following her. Already, churches themselves became harlots. Revelation chapter 2, we saw this already. Let me read from verse 20, chapter 2. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. And teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I give her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness. And do you remember, God is describing something that is happening in the church. This is not description of what is happening out there outside of church. This is in the church. Brothers and sisters, God never promised you this world. He never did. What He promised is that He will destroy it. But God promised you heaven. Brothers and sisters, you are not of this world. You do not belong to this world. John chapter 15. Let me just read that to you. John chapter 15 verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Not only they hate you, but they hate the gospel that you believe. You think I could preach like this outside? You know what the world will do to me when they hear this kind of preaching? But the sad thing is that even some in the church, just like that rich young ruler, after he hears the gospel, he goes sad, go home sad. Because the gospel makes him sad, because he loves this world. He wants this world. You are not with the harlot. You are in Jesus Christ. You are the holy city, the New Jerusalem. You are the eternal bride, the holy bride of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you and I will be persecuted and ridiculed because of our faith, but don't be deceived by the harlot. She has a gold cup, beautiful gold cup. And you figure, whoa, there has to be something good inside that gold cup. This prostitute is tempting you. Come, I have something good for you. It is beautiful cup from the outside. And it seems that even inside is filled with good things, but that is a lie. Don't be deceived. The gold cup that the harlot holds is filled with abominations and the unclean things of her immorality. The harlot tempts us with worldly wealth. The harlot tempts us with worldly beauty, worldly power, worldly health, worldly pleasure, worldly fame, worldly acceptance and recognitions. But brothers and sisters, all of that is nothing at the end. Absolutely nothing at the end. You are not defined by the world. You are defined by Jesus Christ. The city of man will be completely destroyed along with all of its accomplishments and pride. Yes, you are called to use all the worldly things for the glory of God, but even those worldly things are not your ultimate purpose. Yes, when even drinking a cup of water, you have to do it for the glory of God. Nobody's denying that. But when Jesus comes, all of human accomplishments, all of the accomplishments of this world is nothing. You know what remains? The accomplishments of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that it will remain. Don't be deceived. Don't think you're something because you accomplished something in this world. You know, you're so valuable, not because of what you will accomplish or what you're going to do. You are so valuable because of Jesus Christ. You are His son. He cleansed you with His blood. He clothed you with His righteousness. He made you His bride. That's why you're valuable. Not because of what the world says about you. All those things is nothing at the end. And you have to understand this. Otherwise, you will be very sorry. I don't know how I could make this point more clear. Everything about this world will end. Even earthly family will end. Your father will not be your father in heaven. Your mother will not be your mother in heaven. Your brother, if they don't believe, they're not your brother in heaven. Everything about this world will end. That's not ultimate. All of us will have just one father, and that is our God. All of us will be brothers and sisters to one another. And that's your eternal brothers and sisters. If it is not accomplished by Jesus, it's worthless. And his accomplishments are nothing about this world. You think we will need computers in heaven? You think we need to have some surgeons in heaven because we're going to get sick in heaven? Yeah, you might be some hot shot here because you're a surgeon, but in heaven, what? Just get the point so I don't have to go on and on with these examples. The city of man and the city of God. Let's look at one verse and we'll end with that. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. This is the temptation of Jesus Christ. Satan comes to Jesus Christ and he tempts Jesus Christ. Look at how he tempts him. Well, he does three things, but we're going to just look at the last one. Go down to verse 8. Again, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Satan tempts Jesus with what? The glory of this world. Verse 9, and he said to him, all these things I will give you. I will give you this world if you fall down and worship me. Man, that sounds like something that will come out of churches today. You come and worship God. You come and serve God. God will give you this world. He will give you a bigger house. He will give you a healthy body. But this is coming out from Satan's mouth. Why do we hear the same thing in the churches today then? Church
churches tempting you with worldly things. If you serve God, God will give you the world. He will make you go to good college. Give me a break. Where in the Bible does it says that? Do not be deceived. We are to serve God only. The sinful world will continue to boast. We are making this world a better place. We will live better. We will live wealthier. We will live happier. We will live healthier. We will do this. We ourselves will do it by our might and our power for the glory of our majesty. But do not marvel. She will be completely destroyed. At the end, what will describe the Christians? At the end, what will describe the Christian? They worshiped God. That's the only thing that is different from non-Christian. Good doctor? Well, we have a good doctor who's non-Christian. Compassionate doctor? We have a compassionate doctor who's non-Christian. How can you distinguish yourself as a Christian? How can you separate yourself from this world? With what? Going to Harvard? Well, non-Christians go to Harvard too. How can you do that? You worship God. Do you understand? Do you get this? Do not listen to lies. Those worldly things will not define you at the end. Jesus will. He is the meaning and the purpose of who we are and what our life is all about. Continue to seek Jesus Christ and His kingdom, because you are His bride, the holy city, the new Jerusalem. The harlot is dead to you, and you are dead to her in Jesus Christ. What we are reading in our passage is not about you, but before we're saved by God, it is exactly about us. I want you to understand from what you have been saved out of and how you're different today because of Christ. Yeah, I refuse to see you in terms of this world. I don't care how nobody you are in this world, because you are Son of God in Christ. Don't let anybody judge you by the measurements of this world. Refuse it. And even refuse yourself doing it to yourself. Understand how marvelous salvation has been accomplished. I know some of you want this worship to go on forever, but I already went over my given time here, so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are our purpose. Let us truly understand your will that you have shown to us through your word, so that we may be able to obey you, not obey what this world says, not what the harlot says to us.
We thank you that you invited us to live the very life of Jesus Christ. You have called us to imitate him and participate in his life. Let us do that so that we may witness Christ through our lives, through our church. Bless us, God. Bless the bride of Christ, the New Jerusalem. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.